The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Jody Jackson on the road in Cincinnati, Ohio, will be with us today. I want to talk with Jay. A couple times a year, we just chop it up. We just get caught up on stuff. And her stuff is the baseball team, the closers drive me crazy, the direction the team is going, how Torrey has been this year. And the other side of it is, you know, she's a mom trying to juggle her kids in their high school years, and they're getting recruited, and all the craziness that goes with being a high school parent, and how does she juggle that when she's on the road, and everything that we usually do with Jody. It's great. I love chopping it up with Jody. So Jody Jackson, deep dive. That comes up in a bit. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their support. Had a great weekend of, did a lot of golf charity events. National Football Foundation was involved in an event for the Valley Athletic Booster Club around a lot of Sun Devils, pitchforks up and all that stuff. That was Saturday. I watched very little of Golden State Boston last night. I was watching the Rangers and Tampa Bay in hockey last night. I watched some re-air stuff this morning around the Warriors and Boston. The series before it started was interesting to me. It's still of interest to me. I guess it's just become the, after two games, the Steph Curry show or not show. Is there enough help around Steph Curry? Is Klay Thompson the player he once was? There's been some of that that's been thrown out. It's two games in. And Boston did what they needed to do, which is win on the road. I'm not going to sit here and fill hours trying to break it down on that end. Golden State and Boston, I felt like would be a good series. Last night, I was a little more compelled to watch Tampa Bay and the Rangers. Wanted to watch some hockey. And I was watching some college baseball, too. Arizona Wildcat baseball is fun. They eliminated Miami of Ohio. I have not seen today yet if they're where they're at in their games. They've got to win twice today against Ole Miss in order to advance on. The Diamondbacks, Saturday night, I did watch Mark Melancon comes in, and I know it's a two-year deal that they have him on. But my gosh, how many games can he blow? And the team, it's not hyperbole. At least I don't think it is. I'm going to talk to Jody about this. If he had even converted, I don't know, half of the opportunities, they'd be close to a wild card. And yeah, it's early June, but you have to have some sort of hope. And it's Pittsburgh that took two of three. And they're not scoring runs now all of a sudden. At least they did in Pittsburgh. And now they go to Cincinnati for four. Cincinnati's not good. Then they go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia just fired their manager. If there was ever a time to string together some victories, and you have your ace on the hill in Madison Bumgarner, but he's given up 14 earned runs in his last four starts, today is the day. This is the week. You go into Cincinnati, but if you go in there and you lose three or four there and you drop two or three in Philadelphia, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is supposed to be an easier part of your schedule. Please keep it around 500. If you come back 6, 8, 10 games under 500 after this stretch, then people are going to say, okay, yeah, I'm done. I'm out. Checked out. I watched Rafael Nadal yesterday morning just take care of business. I love watching greatness. It doesn't matter the sport. It just doesn't matter. When I can see Rafa go out on the court, and even though it's not against Djokovic or someone of that ilk, it's still him just being Rafa. That was fun. All in all, good weekend all the way around. Jody Jackson is next. We're going to go deep with Jody after this timeout. All right, as promised, it is time to chop it up with Jody Jackson. It's always good to catch up with JJ, especially when she is on the road today in Cincinnati, beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. A four-game series for the Diamondbacks gets started tonight. How have you been?
I've been great. It is actually kind of beautiful here. It's, you know, not too hot here yet. And I know it's sweltering back there. But yeah, it's been a little bit crazy. In Pittsburgh, I didn't fly with the D-backs. I ended up going the family. We went to Chicago for 2 days, and then they went on to South Bend to take a look at Notre Dame. And my son was at the quarterback camp there. And then Purdue was kind of like, it was sort of, okay, where can we go that's nearby and things like that. And he had landed there while there were some taking official visits. So he kind of got to see all that. So that was kind of cool. And then I came here. And so I was a little sleep deprived for a while there, but now I am good. And I am ready for this 4-game series with the Reds.
Okay. I'm going to get over to the quarterback stuff in a bit, but I want to just know from your view, because you're around it every day. I just sit here in my office and watch you and watch the team. I'm really frustrated with Mark Melancon. Okay. And I think most every fan is like, what are we going to do here in the back end of the bullpen? I'm not asking you for answers on it. It's just, Jody, the team is this close. If the bullpen hadn't blown up all these times, they'd be sitting in probably second place in the NL West. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I have a little bit different view just after, you know, you've watched closers for a long time. I mean, yes. I think that, you know, the Diamondbacks opt for, you know, and I can't really disagree with them, that veteran choice over the unknown. And yes, you do have some arms that are getting it. I mean, Joe Mantiply's been outstanding.
Really good, yeah.
And you have Ian Kennedy, who has, I'm sure if you looked at the metrics, you know, there's some hard contact that has come off there, harder than even off of Melancon. I mean, granted, Melancon gave up the homer the other day, but he hadn't given up, you know, a lot of the stuff he's given up is, it seems like there's always, you know, maybe like a single mixed in there, you know, kind of not a hard hit ball. And then, I don't know. I've been watching baseball for so long, as you have as well. And I just feel like sometimes when you stick with that veteran, you know, it works out more times than not. You know, you can see Fernando Rodney in 2017. I feel like there was a lot of that too. And, you know, it's just, if you're making that move, then you're disrupting, you know, this team has actually, I think, overachieved for what most people thought. I think inside the walls of that organization, they're not, you know, they don't like to look at under 500 as overachieving, but they've had, you know, I don't know. I'm not as frustrated as most people seem to be, because I just feel like that veteran option, sometimes they're going to know how to get it done on a night in, night out basis more times than not, even with the bumps in the road. And there have absolutely been some big bumps in the road. But I would argue, you know, when you say, would they be in second place? I mean, you know, to me, you can't pinpoint just that, because you've also got nights that the offense was, many nights in April when the offense was not contributing. And so
or the last 20 innings in Pittsburgh, they didn't contribute, to your point.
The one thing that's been really pretty consistent, even though they've been a little rocky the last few weeks, starting pitching. So, I mean, that's the area you sort of have less of a beef with than anything else right now. And then the offense and like the pen, you kind of got to, okay, keep it on the rails, right?
What do you make out of youth that is being brought up? And I like seeing youth. I'm fine getting my head kicked in with mistakes of enthusiasm, but I'm not seeing as many as I saw in April. Like the heirs of enthusiasm, they're not there as much. Yeah, they're still there, but I have a young center fielder that I look at and say, okay, this is Justin Upton Light. This could be something for a long time. What do you make of the kids?
I'm pretty pleased with the kids. I mean, Alec Thomas the other day hit 2 homers. You mentioned Upton, you know, the youngest guy to do that in a game was Justin. Justin did it twice at a younger age than Alec. So Alex is the second person, but the third instance to be that young and hitting the 2 homers, the multi-home run game. I think there's a lot to like there. I think, again, it's day to day different. You're seeing different pitchers, you're learning on the fly. And then, you know, there are a new, you know, you look at a lot of young kids. I mean, Jose Herrera is 25, but you know, he was signed when he was 16. So, you know, he's just first year in the majors. To me, Dalton, Pavin, these guys are still kind of young. Yep. Cooper Hummel had a great moment at home the other day with that walk-off. So I think, you know, you're not going to see those moments every day. And then how weird is baseball? You know, Seth Beer provided the only moments early on, and then he went 0 for 35, and now he's back in Reno. So, you know, you just can't figure it out. So we watched this kid in Pittsburgh, Jack Sawinski, have a crazy series. But, you know, Cole Tucker came on the scene in 2019. When we arrived there, he had just come off hitting a home run in a nationally televised game. We were interviewing Cole. You know, I mean, it's just, can you stay relevant? Can you keep producing in this crazy game? And so I think that's what we're going to find out. I mean, I know what you mean, but I think, you know, you have to, you know, we'll see it. We'll see. We'll see if they're able to provide more of those moments here on this trip, the Reds and then the Phillies. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity here to put together some exciting games, and hopefully they can do that.
Well, no, as you know, the beauty of baseball is 162 games. I can get all excited as a fan sitting here in my office saying, hey, they're fun. And then, like you said, you know, Seth Beer is nowhere to be seen after what happened.
He was fun for a while.
Yeah. It's the stick-to-itives. How have you found Tory to be this year?
Well, I think Tory, you know, has been re-energized by the play of his team at times. And again, even though there's a lot of work to be done, but last year, the last 2 years, sitting on Zoom calls, talking to us twice a day and losing 110 games last year, I really felt for him, honestly. I mean, how do you not? He didn't have all the answers. When things spiral downward, you sometimes don't. When players don't execute, when pitchers aren't pitching the way that they need to, but that you have guys from the minors coming up that weren't ready. I mean, there's so much that happened. And so this year, the fact that they've been able to put together more of a 500 type season. I mean, again, they're under 500 right now, but you know, it's just, it did start in spring training though. So credit to him in spring training, and then bringing in coaches like Jeff Banister and Brent Strom that, you know, he's been able to lean on. These guys have so much experience. And, you know, they are having fun. The last two games weren't fun, but I think everyone is just enjoying this whole experience more. And maybe no one more than Tory Lovello, who, you know, has kind of stayed the course. He's been himself this whole time.
Yep.
And I think that that will continue to serve him well through this season.
Jody Jackson is with us. She's in Cincinnati. The Diamondbacks are going to be on Bally Sports Arizona tonight. And, of course, throughout the season with Madison Bumgarner on the mound against the Reds. Do you like doing games in Cincinnati? I mean, so the fan out there is like, well, she's in Cincinnati today. She's in Pittsburgh over the weekend. Do you have favorite parks? And then parks are like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a little bit more difficult.
Well, I've been really spoiled looking back, not traveling for the last 2 years. I now really appreciate everywhere that I go even that much more. Just because you think you're going to come back here every other year, or, you know, because Todd Walsh and I share the duties. And so the schedule works out differently, but you kind of take for granted, I'm going to be back there. I'm going to do a game there. I'm going to see that ballpark again. And then you kind of don't. And we wondered, would we ever, you know, you never know. So no, I like so many ballparks. I really do. Pittsburgh, the only tough thing is when I'm in that dugout, well, it's hard to get out. So I forgot about that. And there's things that you forget, but you know, there's a lot of rivers and bridges in these two cities. I feel like, you know, you go for rivers and bridges and now you got rivers and bridges, but it's really cool because we don't have a lot of rivers and bridges. We have a lot of dry river beds.
Yeah, yes.
But I love the lush green and all that stuff, you know, that kind of reminds me of the East Coast where I grew up in Florida. So, but yeah, it's interesting. These are teams that have great history, but haven't done well lately. So, you know, you do appreciate the history and all that. I saw a lot of Bengals flags on my run this morning.
Yeah.
Reminding me that Joe Burrow, this is a town for Joe Burrow and the Bengals going to the Super Bowl last year. And so, you could tell these fans are invigorated by that. And then the Reds got out to a horrid start, but now they're decent, it looks like. So we'll see what happens.
Where's your favorite city to run? I know you're a runner. I wasn't sure about your knees and how you were feeling on that. But if you mentioned you went for your run, what cities do you get to and you're like, I'm going to go for a run. I love running in this city.
Honestly, I run everywhere.
Yeah.
But I love running in San Francisco down to the water, down to the Embarcadero down there. And even if I'm feeling like running, my knees are pretty good. It's just more, it's probably my hamstrings more than my knees at this point. But I don't run as fast as I used to unless I get into a groove here where I might be running a lot. So then, you know, San Fran stands out. I mean, Philly, where we're going, there's a yacht club, boat club down there near where we stay. That's really pretty. I love running here where I went over to Kentucky today. I was thinking of my friend Brandon Webb when I'm over there in Covington, Kentucky. And, you know, and there's so many neat places in this country. I was telling my family on our trip, I said, you know, I don't know what my life would be. I mean, my life would be the same, but like just it's been enriched by seeing so many cool places and meeting people in all those places, seeing the people that I used to work with for the last 10 years. And then I didn't see them for 2 years. My son, I think just got his driver's license. I think that's why he's calling me. You know,
I can sit here and tap dance. I'm a paid professional.
I'm not going to have that conversation right here.
Yeah, just say, hey man, did you get it? Good. I'm on with Brad later.
I mean, I hope he did. I'll be true transparency here. Myself down in Broward County, Florida, I failed my first time because of the parallel parking. which I hear they don't make you do now, that I was 13 inches from the curb. You had to be 12 inches from the curb. I failed. My mother was horrified. I then went back a week later and, you know, did it, but.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Jody Jackson with us for a couple of minutes. Okay. And this leads over to the moment you were having right now. And I've talked to you about this in the past, about being a mom and balancing the act when you're on the road working and life is getting in the way and you're missing some things. You and I have been pretty straightforward with each other about the years that you're in right now are just awesome years. And the term that I've heard is it only gets better as you get older. Yeah, it does. I can tell you that. And I'm older than you. You're in the space of your son is a quarterback. Your daughter's involved in sports. There's colleges, there's college visits. How are you balancing all of that and taking it all in?
Well, you and I have talked for many years, 15 plus years. And, you know, when they were little, I feel like it was much more emotional. But even now today, like he's getting his driver's license and I'm not there. So I always pictured I would be there for that. But really, I'm more concerned with him just because he's my car. He's driving because I'm here. So it's more like just take care of my car, please. So it's not as emotional because they're bigger kids. And I can't believe as we sit here, Brad, I can't believe that in a way that part of their life, it's gone. You know, I mean, they're not little anymore. So here we are now they're teenagers and one's driving already. So, but it does, it gets better in a different way. And it gets, you still miss not being there, but you know that they're okay. They're able to do so many things on their own. So, you know, it's interesting to see, but yet it's a pivotal time, like you mentioned. And I know your kids, you know, you have one kind of still in the nest and the other ones are older and living their lives. But I feel like it's pivotal right now because when you choose your college, you're choosing a really big part of your life, you know, who you're going to spend those next few years with and how you're, you know, that very formative time is going to shape you. Mm-hmm. And so whether you go there as an athlete or a student, student athlete, you know, but whatever you do, it's all about coming away better person, more educated, all those good things and great relationships. So it's fun. Yeah. They visited, you know, Notre Dame, Purdue. There's always something going on. So the other thing, going back to just dialing it up as a sports person here, looking at prep sports, you know, it's crazy how much stuff comes at you as a parent. There's camps everywhere. There's this and that and the other. I mean, and you can't get too, you know, for example, they could have stayed a little longer and done something else at Purdue. And I said, well, you know what, like your flight was when it was, and you can go back another time if you choose, yep. Or you can just go to different schools. So you can't be too overwhelmed. I think you have to keep your eye on the prize. You just have to, you know, take it all in, but not worry about, you know, you can't go to every college in America. It would be insane, but you know, you just have to really soak in those moments. And so we'll see what happens, but it's a fun time for them for sure.
How have you navigated, just in your son's case, because of football, how have you navigated or find navigating the whole, okay, the booster club has this event, we need them at a car wash, you need to sell cookie dough, you need to sell this, you have camp, you need to get compression shorts, you have a new coach, the recruiting stuff is ramping up, you could pay for the speed coach, the strength coach, the this, the that. You have a lens, and I think I'm in the same boat as you. We're in sports, and people think we have all the answers because we're in sports. The high school space is a lot of times a money grab, I've found. Yeah. And you just have to find the space to say, no, we can do this ourselves. Yeah. Are you in that mindset too?
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, because my schedule's so busy, my husband does a lot of that as far as the scouting services and all of that. Yeah. And yeah, it's a lot. And you do look at other kids and you say, well, okay, we don't have the resources as some families do, but we have a lot more than other families. And you say, well, you know, is it a shame that not everyone can go? Everyone? No, you just do what you can. You know, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. There are families that if they're able to fly all over the country, they do so. I mean, I tried to book those flights. It was crazy. Like, it's really hard to fly around the country now for the average family, you know, the prices. And so, yeah. And it's just, again, you have to have a good organization schedule. My husband's really good about that with the kids because he is the one that's also taking them to the specialty coaches and all of that. I do it sometimes, you know, when I'm at home, obviously I do that, but yeah, it's mind boggling, you know, and it's very difficult at times, but you just have to be grateful for any opportunities that you get for all that. And at the first, and then the other thing, and I'll wind it up by saying, what happens in the games this season is ultra important. And, you know, he also did a baseball showcase last week. And, you know, it's funny because there's all these metrics. They'll measure every part of you. Yep. They'll weigh you. They'll look, how high do you jump? How high, you know, what do you do? You know, there's a million things, even more detailed than I thought. Like, those are basic, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's about playing the game. And so, for example, even in baseball, you know, a showcase is like 3 hours, but there's so much more to the game of baseball. And there's kids that were there that probably didn't measure the best, but they know they're so, I mean, I'm telling you, when you watch these Major League Baseball games, that intelligence on the field, the baseball IQ and all that stuff, that you can't really, you can't see it unless you watch maybe 10 or 12 or 20 games. That is so important. And the same with football, especially at the quarterback position. So it's all building toward the games. And so I think the big key is, let's remember, kids, the games are the most important thing, and what you do in the games, right? So,
well, it's hard because there's people that are going to watch this or are watching right now, and they are going to be the ones that are saying, there's no way we can afford this. I'm the single mom. I'm going to do whatever I can do. I'm the single dad. I'm going to do whatever I can do. Or I'm the foster parent. And I've come across all of those stories, and you don't want to say, well, I'm sorry I've been dealt that deck of cards, but there are different ways that you can go. And be realistic about it. Your son, your daughter may not go to UCLA or Notre Dame. When I have somebody start with, yeah, we're aiming for Power Five, it's okay. Why don't you just aim? What does your kid want to do? Does your kid want it? You know, it's having some hard conversations to where you're not the crazy parent. And as long as I've known you, you're not the crazy parent. And I'm sure the anxiety, though, builds from freshman year, this is cool. Sophomore, oh, this is great. Junior year, okay, we got to make things happen. Senior year, I'm ready to get out of here. That's usually how I see it with parents.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll see where they go. They're going to tell their own story through how they play. That's what my thought is. And you just prepare them as well as you can as parents. The coaches prepare them. I mean, every kid, but the thing that's beautiful about it, and at Corona, you know, Jake Barrow has done a great job of this. It's just supporting the kids and getting their name, helping them. You know, there's nothing wrong with going to all of these things and getting your name out there. And I mean, cause you just never know. But if you never try, you will never know what could happen if you never go to some of these things locally. Let's say you don't have the resources, so you go to the local camps, you know, and Connor will be going to NAU here in a
this
couple
weekend,
weeks.
Probably.
What he's going to go to Colorado State. That's the only other one out of town. I think also I might be misspeaking here. There's a school, small school in Utah, because we happen to be going to Utah for Caitlin's softball tournament. So again, you do what you can do. We drive around, you know, the Western region is what we're going to do here in the next couple weeks. And then, you know, it's just, I love though, the support of the coaches to not be shy about it. Like, you know, these kids, you don't have to be ranked at the top of whatever your position is to be going out there to these camps and talking to coaches. And, you know, it's all about relationships too. And even if you don't end up going to these schools, maybe you go to a smaller school, or maybe you just go to school, you know, but you still learn valuable experiences from dealing with people. Some of these kids, this is going to be where they start learning to deal with people, deal with talking to coaches as, you know, as adults. And that's really important, and not their parents talking, like them actually initiating. So I think it's also just a really good socialization and, you know, coming into your own as an adult to go out to some of these events and things like that.
How do you find softball versus football in terms of parents recruiting interest? What's the strategy? Is there any difference from your view as a parent? Forget about the sports person, Jody Jackson, for a minute, just as a parent.
Well, that is a loaded question because it's so different than baseball too. Club, you know, but the club softball, it was all, you know, I'm always honest here, so I'm going to lay it out. You know, the club softball scene for girls, and my daughter's in 14U. So she's, you know, that might sound really young to people, but it starts really young. It starts, there's girls coming. I mean, there's former players that have daughters that want to play like at 8 and 9 years old. And they say, well, where do we go? And it's really hard to find stable programs, you know, because it really is parents, it's dads, moms coaching most of the time. And I will tell you, Brad, we've been with like four or five different teams, and we're with a great one right now. But, you know, a lot of them have just dissolved. You know, they just dissolve. It's not like club baseball where you see some powerhouses or club volleyball. I mean, these places, they stick around for many, many years.
I was in that scene with my daughters. Yep.
Softball's really different. And I even said, I'm like, you know, it's kind of sketchy. Like it's I find it to be the hardest of, and there might be parents listening that say, well, soccer's this and that. I don't know all the sports, but I mean, you know, there's just not a lot of consistency there. And you're like, what is going on? And, you know, who somebody thinks is the best person at that position, they're very differing opinions. And it's not just because that might be somebody's daughter, but it's just because the difference in opinion on who is the most talented at these positions is like so wide. We just are playing the games. Yeah. I can't tell you how much it is to, and that's why they have to have fun. Like my kids really, they love playing these games.
Yeah.
Because, and if you don't, you just can't do it. Cause that's at the end of the day, that's the saving grace, is that you go out to the field and you play, and how do you do and what craziness ensues. And, you know, it's like all the other stuff is just noise. Right.
But yeah, club basketball was the worst. I'd see fights. And
okay. So I don't even know that scene. Oh, and that's probably crazy.
It's brutal. It's brutal. And anybody who says it's not brutal, oh, you just happened to the wrong club. No, it's brutal. Guys jumping from teams, people's taking money, you know, money part of it's always.
Luckily, the money's not too, I've heard about the money about, so this stuff isn't really about money, but it's just like jumping around and like, oh, it's just a lot. But you can't, the thing that my daughter has learned, and I really love this about the craziness of it, is you just keep going. And, you know, when that team dissolves and who knows why, and, you know, you just keep moving forward and you have thick skin on like, okay, well, you know, if they didn't pitch me here, but then, you know, it's going to change all the time. And you just evolve into, you know, she's progressing really well. And, you know, but there's bumps. I see my son's friends, he's friends with a lot of softball players actually. And, you know, they're now 16, and the ones that were at the top when they were 14 are not always at the top at 16.
No, that's right.
But they may be back at 18. So it's really like, I think baseball is a lot of, sports in general is a lot of attrition. Who is
girls participation? There. I've seen this. Girls participation by the time they get to sophomore, junior year just falls off a cliff. Talk to sports psychologists about it and all that. It's just different body time, different body clock.
Social life.
Yeah. And I go back when I coached my daughters in basketball in seventh and eighth grade, it was the worst experience of my life. Forget about them. Imagine taking 14, 12-year-old girls and going on the road and being like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do here? And but now they're in their 20s and they laugh at me and said it was great that I was there and I was involved and trying to be the dad, the coach, the on-air guy, like you're in that space right now. So a lot of the stuff you're talking about, it's I was there. I'm curious if either one of your kids shown an interest in wanting to be the next you.
Well, that's interesting. When Connor was little, he was really, I feel like more, he was always interviewing, you know, he was interviewing people and interviewing me and talking about it. And the thing that was so funny is like, I had the Kurt Warner book when Kurt came to Arizona, because I'm like, okay, I need to know more about him, the All Things Possible book. And Connor was pretty little and he read the book. And I was like, I don't even know what's in this book. Like, luckily it's pretty wholesome, because Kurt's a pretty wholesome guy. But, you know, and then now he's just more so focused on the sports that, and now I'm trying to say, well, what do you want to do? You know, we need to talk about more of this. Is it still kind of maybe journalism, or is it marketing? Is it business? What is it? I think we've narrowed it down that it's not engineering. Okay. So
math is not happening, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's taken a lot of really high level courses, and I just don't think his interest is that much in the STEM stuff. But then my daughter, what's interesting is the other way. My daughter as a youngster, you know, there are pictures of her holding my mic and stuff, and it's all fun, but like, she's dropped a couple of hints about it now as she's older. So it was younger for one, older for the other. You know, I don't know where they will land in it, but it's not, I have friends that do my job, you know, and they have daughters that like verbalize it and write it out in notes, and they'll post them like, I want to be, you know, super cute notes about, I want to go to this school and then I want to do journalism and then I want to cover, you know, this team and interview so-and-so. And like, so not, my kids have not ever shown that much interest where they have like, I want to do what mom does. I think they're looking at everything, you know, and maybe they don't want to do what I do, which is
would you
fine.
Talk them out of it? You know, that's the big thing now is people like, oh, I can talk you out of being in journalism because we're always under attack and there's this and there's that. And I'm like, you know what? This is great business. It's a great business. You just have to
yeah,
find
no,
the right
it's
spot.
Given way. It's given me way too much to be able to say I would talk my kids out of it. It's just whatever makes them happy. Yep. And they probably see that I'm stressed a lot and I got a crazy schedule and I'm not there. And maybe that does deter them a little bit. But, you know, my parents never deterred me from anything. And they just wanted me to go to college because no one in my family had gone to college. So it was all about like, go to college and then do what you want. And I think, you know, again, bluntly, like get a job, support yourself, have health insurance, you know,
figure it out.
It sounds really, you know, I preach that because in this world today, everyone wants to have their own thing and their own, you know, like young people want to have a YouTube channel and they think that's a job. And it's like, okay, I'm grateful my parents taught me, you know, hey, your health is really important. You should get a job. I know it's very old school and people listening might be like, what is she talking about? But getting, you know, getting paid every 2 weeks or getting benefits and like these things were important to me. And yes, are there a million other things you can do out there? And is that maybe limiting and maybe, oh, I'm crushing everyone's dream. And I don't know. I'm still living my dream. And I've been lucky enough to, you know, have a job that is stable, pretty stable. I mean,
are there times where you feel like this isn't a job? Or, you know, when you're doing something,
you know what it's become, Brad?
I'm in that space.
What I do, like, I feel so natural doing what I do. That's how I know that I love what I do. It's just what I do. You know, I interview people, I find out things about their lives and how they play the games. And I mean, I could be inserted into almost any, you know, sport or even, you know, non-sport items, but like, especially baseball, like you get into that groove and, you know, and I covered football for so long. I feel it's just kind of what I do, you know? Yep. And I don't know actually what I would do if I wasn't doing it. So,
you'd sit in the bleachers and yell at your kids. That's what you do.
Teaching at ASU has been fun. That's opened up a lot of things. I've had to learn a lot about teaching.
Yeah.
And putting in grades and stuff like that. So,
well, look, I love chopping it up with you on a bunch of fronts because people tell me, boy, I never knew. And you're in a space where your voice carries a lot of weight to begin with. And you're in that space of being a mom with high school kids that are going into some interesting times on the recruiting front. So I appreciate you being wide open as always and not holding back.
Good to chat with you, Brad. Thanks for having me.
There's Jody Jackson. You can see her tonight on Bally Sports Arizona before, during, after the Diamondbacks and Reds and all year round with the Coyotes too. We're back with more after this timeout.